Unit 4, Exercise 29A. Listen to the interview with Phil McDowell, who is famous for the greatest number of hobbies and interests he's had in his life. Are the statements given below true or false? Put T or F in the box next to each statement.
Today in our program, we are going to speak to Philip McDowell from New York, who's world famous for the number of hobbies he has had in his life. Mr. McDowell, what was your first hobby?
When a child, I lived on a farm with my parents, 15 miles away from New York, and it was an apple farm. But we also had half a dozen pigs, which I loved dearly. I spent hours with my pigs every day, and it was then that I started my first collection. I collected everything connected with pigs, mostly toy pigs and porcelain figures of piglets, postcards, calendars, funny posters. I had about 30 pig-shaped pens, erasers, and pencil sharpeners. My friends even started calling me Porky, mainly for those things they saw in my school bag.
And was it your sole hobby, or did you do anything else then?
Well, when I was 12, my father started inviting students from different European countries to help gather apples on the farm. Every summer, I made friends with students of different nationalities, and thus, for 6 summers, I picked up 6 languages. I turned out to be good at languages, you know. The first was Italian, then Polish, Russian, Czech, Greek, and Spanish. The students usually left some books for me to read during the winter, and sometimes sent me some dictionaries and manuals. That was a kickstart for another collection. I've been buying dictionaries of different languages all my life. Now I have more than 100, even one in Swahili and a rare Mongolian English edition. Actually, you can see them all here on the shelves.
And do you sometimes use them?
I don't speak all these languages, of course, but when I travel, I do travel a lot. I take one with me. Sometimes it helps explain what I need. I hope I'll learn more languages.
So traveling is another hobby you have, isn't it?
Yes, I can afford it, and I travel to new countries every 3 or 4 months. I've been to all European countries, Australia, New Zealand, some countries in Asia and Africa. This year I'm going to start exploring South America, so I'm mastering my Spanish at the moment.
But you must be spending a lot of time on board, or do you travel by car?
I hate driving. I use a bicycle when I traveled around France. Cycling used to be my hobby at that time. But now I really spend plenty of time in planes, trains, coaches. Sometimes I go by ship. This is quite time-consuming, and I hate wasting a single moment. So, about 5 years ago, I started knitting to keep my hands busy and brain awake while traveling. This monotonous process of creating something beautiful makes the dull journey fly by.
And what beautiful things do you knit?
Sweaters and scarves, mainly.
Are they your own or someone else's design?
As a matter of fact, they are all of the same design. They are plain, and they always have the American flag ornament.
What do you do with them?
I give them to nice people I meet in other countries. We swap souvenirs, actually. They give me flags, national dolls, models of their landmarks, well, different things.
Do you collect them as well?
No. I usually give them to my friends in America. But when I was in France, one French guy presented me with a very unusual wall clock in the shape of the Eiffel Tower. That became the first item of my wall clock collection.
How many wall clocks do you have in your collection?
73. It makes about 10 for each room in my house. Most of them are rather unusual in their form, and they show the time of the countries they were brought from.
Then I wonder how you tell the time when you are at home.
I have a wristwatch, of course.
Mr. McDowell, is knitting the only craft you are interested in?
To tell the truth, I enjoy work which uses my hands as well as the mind. That was one of the reasons why I took up wood carving. When I was in Russia about 20 years ago, I bought a wooden spoon to use in my kitchen. Then my girlfriend saw it and wanted to have the same. So I decided to make one for her. It didn't turn out to be extremely difficult, but was really exciting. I bought all the necessary tools, and can you imagine? I managed to carve a complete replica of the Russian spoon. I've been into wood carving since then, and I can assure you it's a fascinating hobby.
And what do you carve?
I carve souvenir plates, kitchen utensils. At the moment, I'm working on a big box for my sister's jewelry.
And do you play any sports?
I can't say I'm crazy about sports, but I'm a member of our local golf club, and I play golf from time to time just to be English enough, you know. In winter, I usually spend a week in the Swiss Alps, as I'm fond of high mountain skiing, but I still need an instructor. And in summer, I often do a lot of windsurfing. That is the only kind of sport I feel confident about. It makes me feel younger, and I love the smell of the sea wind.
Last year, you were in all local newspapers for the giant candle you made for Christmas celebration in the town hall.
Yeah, this is one more hobby that I have picked up from my grandpa. He taught me how to make candles, and every year before Christmas, I'm busy candle making for my numerous relatives and for charity. I shape up bears and rabbits, pigs, certainly. I prefer animal shapes, but the candle you've mentioned I made in the shape of a Christmas tree about 5 feet high.
Oh, it's really amazing. Can you say what other hobbies you have?
Well, when I'm at home, I sing with the church choir. It's part of our social life here in New York because of our famous cathedral. I used to be interested in archaeology and even dug up some artifacts here in the center of town. I do a lot of gardening, indeed. I'm mad about roses. I think I have some hobbies, but I can't remember right now.
That's incredible. How do you find time to do all that? Don't you have a job?
Frankly speaking, I inherited a small fortune from my uncle, so I don't have to work.